No, we start the minor prophets. What's in the minor prophets for us?
So far, my biggest observations of looking at these minor prophets is I'm starting to see where a lot of our people today come up with the phrases of how to scare you by looking at the minor prophets. There's some phrases in there that would scare me too, actually. There's quite the stories in these things, and we don't have time. We could spend another month just on Hosea with all that's going on in there. I mean, the guy's asked to look at chapter 1, verse 1, or verse 2. But we won't get into this today. We just know that God's people were committing adultery with other gods, and that's how God looked at it, and God finally eventually divorced them as such. And that's what you see. He has Hosea here in verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. All the other new Bibles call that adultery, but King James gets in there, wax a pretty good whoredoms. So I went back and he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which we conceived and bare him a son. And then it goes on. It's a very interesting story. It's interesting how God really puts it to him about what's going on. In fact, like I said, we're just not going to spend much time on that. His children are interesting. In chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Jezreel, his firstborn, is named after the city of Jehu's bloody brutality in 2 Kings chapter 1. There was a reason for that name. The hour of retribution and punishment has come. I mean, the time for crashing has come. Then in verse 6, the second child means Lo Ruma, which means not loved. And that's representing the fact that God is done with Israel for a while. And then verse 9, third child, Lo Ami, it means not my people. So he named his kids after what was going on. It's a lot like naming your kids Dumb and Dumber. You know, don't, Jerry, don't. All the parents look over at their kids, like right away, which one are you, Dumb or Dumber? You know? Makes the third one really feel bad. Doesn't even fit the category of Dumb or Dumbers, whatever. Dumber, yeah. So, there's a lot of things here that are very interesting. Where God really goes after Israel, puts a judgment on them. Now, he doesn't leave them forever. We know that as time is coming here. It talks about punishment. Ephraim is in here. And you're reading through how Ephraim got destroyed and got punished. Well, I'll tell you, a lot of that looks like America, reading that Ephraim stuff. I mean, I'm not going to say that it is, but the typology, the application certainly does fit quite well. Look at, where's this other verse here? Maybe I can find it here. Look at chapter 6. So if you want to read a study of Hosea, it's online. It's there for you to do. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That's pretty interesting. Being risen after 2 or 3... Yeah, there's some clues in there about something that's coming. But what I really want to take a few minutes here and talk about... Well, I think I got time before I get into the big chunk here. Let's look back at chapter 5, verse 4. Here's a couple of interesting verses. Just quotes as such. Hosea chapter 5, verse 4. I like how the Bible says things, like I've always said that. Verse 4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. Isn't that a classy way of saying they're not going to do what they need to do to obey God? They will not frame their doings. I think that was kind of, I like that. That was pretty good. Look at chapter 6, verse 5. Where he says, I have slain them by the words of my mouth. What does he have going on in Revelation 19? Two-edged sword, his mouth. So, that's quite a thing. And see, here's one of the things that, just a sidelight, I won't spend a lot of time on it today, but quite often as parents, we can kill our kids with our mouth. You know, and we can say some things that maybe needed to have been said, but maybe it's how we said it. And I'm not going to say that you need to be Mr. and Mrs. Sweetkins and all that stuff, but we can hurt people with our mouth. And times. I've done that many times. But anyway. Look at chapter 9, verse 6. Now, this is totally out of context, but I'll say it anyway. This is what's destroying America. You see anything in there that I would say would be an American destroyer? Anybody pick up on that in there?
Memphis.
Memphis shall bury them. A lot of music comes out of there. That's just a totally out of context one of those things. But I just, there it is. Memphis is destroying America, that music from down there. Look at chapter 10. Here's a tract that I remember reading a long, long time ago by Finney, Charles Finney, in early American sermon. Chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Isn't fallow ground hard ground? You gotta chop it up and everything. So that's a good thing. But if I look back and think of what that tract meant, it's like you better start doing right, righteousness type of a thing. So they took a good thing and then they kind of spoiled it. But yeah, break up your fallow ground. Some people aren't going to listen to Paul, listen to you, listen to the Bible, listen to rightly dividing it all until they finally break up that hardness that they have. Some folks are just hard as a rock. And you can sprinkle seed on them all you want and it's just going to flow off. They need to choose to break up that fallow ground. So there is a good message there. But the first part of that verse, sow to yourselves in righteousness. That's Old Testament. The righteousness we need is His. Anyway, look at chapter 11, verse 7. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. I like bent to backsliding. That's just what you're going to do. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Now, when I read that, first thing I thought of was being born again. You see, this nation, Israel, needs to return to God as a nation. So the nation was born again. And there's a number of references about Israel together. So God's desire was for Israel to come back, not individuals. That's what John 3, 7 type of thing. In fact, more things to do. Chapter 14. Okay, should we do the next one here? No, we'll come back to that in a second. Let's go down here to chapter 4. We'll come back to that in a minute. There's a lot in the notes that we're not even going to begin to touch today. These are some threats that we've heard today. This is what's going to happen to these people if they don't get it together. If they quit being bent into backsliding, or the ground is so hard. Chapter 4, let's just look at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Okay, so we know what's going on in America. That would fit. You know, I mean, there's still some knowledge, and there is still some mercy and truth amongst the people, amongst Christians, etc., etc. Boy, some of the unsaved people got more mercy with other people than the Christians do. But still, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. This is all happening. But is it because of this? Because if that's true, look at verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because I was rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That's not true. Now, there's a lot of truth to the fact that if you reject knowledge and you don't have knowledge, you can be destroyed. The world can destroy you. So, yeah, there's truth to these things, but these aren't to us. There's a real hot one in here somewhere. I think I marked it somewhere here. Let's keep looking here. Let's look at maybe 13. No, that's not what I'm looking for. Let's look at 5:12. I want to find you one really. No, just get into the thing I really want to get into here this morning.
Look at verse 15 of chapter 5. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. I got in a little squabble on the internet the other day with somebody, one of our guys, actually has been here, that said that we need to seek his face and pray and da-da-da-da, and I said, what does that mean? And he was talking about some things. You guys said, how about the Bible? This is where his face is at. So, yeah, in those days, they needed to find God. But today, how do you find his face? Right here in this Bible. So, there's truisms, there's truths in the Old Testament, but they're not truest, and they're different. That the actual detailed application, how they work, is Bible. It's totally different. Oh, maybe I didn't mark it down here. 11, 7, what's that one say? Anyway, let's get to what I want to give to you. Let's go to chapter 6. There's other threats in there that people can use today if they want, and a lot of pastors do, because God is mad at Israel, and they backslid, they were messing around with all the gods in the world, and God just put it to them. And if you don't understand Paul's teachings, you think the same thing will happen to us, and they're all talking about that. But here's something I ran across that I had heard of a number of years ago, and what's in Hosea for us? A huge observation. Look at chapter 6, verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. Joy cometh in the morning, I suppose. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. And there's a movement on America. There's been a movement in America for a number of years. It's called the latter rain. Have you heard of that? Has anybody heard of that? Anybody? I'm just curious. Anybody heard the latter rain? You've heard of that? Okay. And I heard about it. Figured, this is just another one of those cultic things. Like they're going to land on a meteor when it flies through. Or here's some Kool-Aid for everybody today. One of those kind of things. But I'm basically going to just read you what they say about some different facts about their group. And because you recognize Paul's teachings, and because you recognize Acts 1 through 8, because you really pinned down that whole stuff before Paul is in Acts chapter 2, the whole way those churches are designed today in the wrong way, and what the Great Commission means, that you're going to have miracles, signs, and wonders to follow salvation. You're going to be able to speak in tongues. You're going to be led of the Spirit. And there's no need for a Bible. You've been anointed, and anointing in 1 John means that nobody can teach you anything, because God will just give you everything you need to know. All that kind of stuff is just everywhere today. It's absolutely everywhere today. Now, this latter rain thing, that's exactly what that latter rain is. This latter rain movement says that all those things are going to be taking place in the tribulation. And they say that all those things are taking place today. And this is a great, marvelous movement of returning the church back where it needs to be. And I'm just reading their stuff, and I'm thinking, man, this is exactly how they portray the tribulation, which is what it will be, but it won't be right. 1 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 16, I think it is, Revelation 16, talks about all this stuff will be a ploy by the Antichrist to get people to think they're doing Christ's stuff. So here's a movement that's already been in existence, and they do a lot of camping and back-to-earth stuff and green-earth stuff and vitamins and all the stuff that everybody kind of gets into. These folks just kind of live on this stuff and because they're trying to be holy. They have to be holy today. And they're showing people how to be holy today. And the Spirit of God will lead them into being holy. Miracles and signs will prove that they are holy. And it's in existence today. So here's it's big. Here's another one that's just setting up before the Antichrist actually comes, just setting up people that are going to be willing to fall for it. They're going to set it up so when he comes, this whole movement is just right in place. Now, the hard thing, and I know some of you still really don't like to hear this, but this whole thing, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Catholics, nobody's heading towards Catholicism. They're all jumping in on this teaching of a Christ that is going to be doing the things that Matthew and Mark say they're going to be doing. That's the signs and the wonders and stuff. And again, it talks in Thessalonians, it talks in Revelation. And this is all tribulation stuff, and it's all false. But you have to follow with Christ, so you've got to be doing Christy things. So yeah, these are things that took place at one time.
Here we go. So everybody's getting on this bandwagon. Is it the Catholic Church? Well, sure it is, because look at Revelation 18. The Catholic Church? No, but it's that Baal worshiping crowd that Catholic is just a segment of, and so that's where it's all comes from, this thing. This is amazing. And our guys are jumping on this wagon. This is amazing. Here we go. They claim that the restitution of the church to its rightful place, so the church will come back to its place of holiness in the world. They say that there's an enormous last day revival soon to come in the harvest of souls before the great terrible day of the Lord, which is when he comes back. So here these guys are already preaching what will be preached by the Antichrist when he comes back, and they're calling this thing that's taking place a great, an enormous last day revival. That enormous last day revival will be actually a trick to the devil, to follow the Antichrist. And the only way you know this is because you know Revelation 6 versus Revelation 19. And the only way you know that is the King James Bible versus any other Bible. Amazing. They say that there is, not will be, but there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Where is that at? Acts chapter 2. That's what Joel says. But not in the context of proper revival, but in the context of a false revival. Because we also, the devil will be doing that stuff. Amazing. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh promised us in the last days, and the restoration of apostolic and prophetic gifts. So all that Pentecostal stuff will be, and it's already taking place. Now listen to this though. The latter rain as a movement began with the Pentecostal movement. It's a parallel to that thing. Now here we go. It's called at the Sharon Orphanage. There's an orphanage. It doesn't say what town it was in, but at an orphanage called the Sharon Orphanage. And it says God really was manifested there. Well, see, in Timothy it says God is manifested in the flesh, but they say he was really manifested at the Sharon Orphanage in 1948. So they say that 1948 began the end times. The United Nations was formed. Israel became a state. And go back in history, all these great evangelistic and prophetic movements, Pentecostal, all that stuff, that started at the same time. Now, unless you're a King James Bible believer, you will not recognize the fact that all this began at a certain time, and it's false. It's totally false. And we've been around long enough that we are part of the fruit of all that stuff, and it takes a King James Bible, rightly divided, to expose that thing, and no wonder people get mad at you. Because they've been brought up with all this concept of a Christianity with signs and wonders and revival and camp meetings where people are falling on the floor, writhing in joy and all this kind of stuff. That has never worked that way. And I've taught this stuff, and I've shown this stuff. And I know God can do, there's been revivals, but if you look at these revivals, a lot of them are, they're either Calvinistic, or they're guilt-produced, or they're followed with signs and wonders, and it's like, well, you got to go back and re-examine almost anything that we've been given in our lives. Really. And that's hard, because what have we taught? And maybe I'm sure we taught some right things, but did we know? We didn't know. We were part of it. Get into this book, rightly divide that thing, and really watch what's going on. And find these groups, and you'll see what they're all saying the same thing. They're all saying the same thing. Do I need to read all the stuff to find out what they're saying? No, just read Acts chapter 2. That's what they're all saying. Or go to Peter. Read some of that stuff in Peter. Or go back to the end of Mark and the end of Matthew. This is what everybody's teaching. Except little people like us, the little King James Bible, simply rightly dividing this thing, and they just think we're crazy. But it's not us that we're putting forth. It's a rightly divided Bible. And that should help with a little bit of authority, what you're trying to tell people. Anyway. Listen to these two guys they use that spread the world with gospel evangelism, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. What a pair. Now, I understand Oral Roberts, folks. I remember watching him as a kid. Down they'd go. I just remember that at all. He'd whack them, down they'd go. And I said, wow, that was really impressive. not Lutheran, though, so I guess it must be wrong. But I watched, I was intrigued. There was apparently God was doing things in that TV. Now I realize what was going on. It's just that they're still doing it today. I think they'd have healed the world by now. But Billy Graham is right there with him. Okay. Then it says there is no Lateran theology. They don't have their own doctrine. They just say that there will be an outpouring of the Spirit of God in a Christian. And then they say that the heresy hunters, see, that's us. We're a heresy hunter. It says that we are fiercely anti-Pentecostal. But I'm anti-Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist. I'm ready to get you to sit down here and do a thing on Baptists again here. That's not the point. We're anti-profane and vain babblings. And the Pentecostal thing, I know you heard, but the Pentecostal thing is totally the movement that's bringing everybody together based on these things. It's amazing. What things? Here we are. They have a belief in healing, laying on of hands, manifest sons of God, emphasis on spiritual gifts, fasting, prayer, and prophecy. Boy, it just sounds like a regular radio program out of the Baptist church anymore. Belief in healing, laying on of hands, manifest sons of God. That's, you know, sons of God. Emphasis on spiritual gifts. Allegiance to the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4:11. What's that? Look at Ephesians 4:11. Fivefold ministry. And how do you refute that? Okay, now I can slow down. We get to the point of the interview. How do you refute what it says in Ephesians 4:11? What does it say? Sam? Read that 4:11 for me.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers.
So what do we have today then? We've got all five of those. What we do? Prophets? Apostles? Evangelists, yes. Pastors and teachers, yes. And notice the pastors and teachers is one guy, so it should be a pastor that preaches while he teaches and teaches while he preaches. But prophets and apostles? I was reading something the other day. A guy was writing about the thing we're looking at this morning, we're talking about here in the service. And he was mentioning how we need to follow Paul. Oh, wow. I didn't know this guy said that. The rest of that sentence said, and the apostles. And the apostolic doctrine. Well, wait a minute. We're looking at A and B here, or A and Z. You can't do that. But see, I don't believe he's deceiving people on purpose. This is what man's teachings will steer us. Many years ago, we were one degree off on the way to the moon. It's been 50 or 100 years later. How far off are we now? That's what's happening. Anyway. So they say that there's apostles and they say that there's prophets. Well, everybody thinks that except the King James guys. And I'll tell you what, the King James guys are pretty close to calling Dr. Ruffin a prophet. I've heard that. I mean, I've heard people think that he is. And you got Ellen White, you got Jack Hiles, you got all these great guys that have started the big thing. They're looked upon as prophets by a lot of people. And that's just hogwash or pig mud or whatever that is. They believe in teaching of the Jewish feasts. Any Jewish friends that still want to do the Jewish thing? Sure. If you have a Jew, invite them over for breakfast. Slap a little bacon on the table. Anyway, this will be broken. Sorry. Distrust of denominations. Okay, so we agree on one thing. The denominational thing. That's become a major problem. Then they call it the Last Day Revival. It's like the devil's last fling to get everybody to follow into the signs and wonders thing before the real Christ comes along and pops everybody. Outpouring of God's Spirit in the last days. Well, yeah, that's true. But who's going to be teaching the false things? And what's going to be true? You're going to be receiving teachings that are true and that are false. The devil can do that. He'll be able to do that. Why do you suppose they're going to be looking for God's words from east to the west? They're not going to be able to find them anywhere from here to there. Why do they need God's words in those days to show what's right or wrong? It's going to be so tricky. Then they also talk about Joel's army, but that's in the book of Joel, and that's also Peter saying those things in Acts chapter 2. So the devil knows how to take scriptures and make them look real. He really does. It's a latter rain. Here we go, another thing on them. The power of prayerful intercession. So what do we have going on today in the modern Christianity? Power of prayer. Yep, prayer circles, prayer meetings, prayer gatherings. 24-hour prayer, you come in here you pray for 15 minutes to keep the 24-hour session going. Not knowing, of course, that Frank around 4:30 in the morning fell asleep and broke the prayer circle to the prayer line, you know. But nobody knows that. You know, how do you know that? I was Frank. Went and prayed up their first Bible for, I forgot what was going on. I forgot what it was. And the men prayed for like 2 days straight, and it's like a Guinness Book of Records thing. You know, you're gonna chew macaroni for 3 days straight. But they give you 15-minute breaks every hour or something. You know how they do that? That isn't right. If you're going to chew macaroni for 3 days straight, you chew macaroni for 3 days straight. You see what I'm saying? So if we're going to pray from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock in the morning, one guy is going to fall asleep and he's going to blow the whole thing if this is really what it was. Or God's going to go, you know, I've heard the same prayer now for the last 12 hours, you guys. But there's a huge, and I'm not saying pray without ceasing. In fact, I read something the other day that was very interesting. Well, how does that go? Prayer doesn't change God, but it can change you. Just because you're concerned, you're praying for people, you're praying for things, you're aware of stuff, and it can change you. And it was this huge power of prayer. Power of prayerful intercession will join those chosen to bring the army of the Lord into the heavenlies. Chosen to bring the army of the Lord. So there's only certain people who will be coming back with him. Remember Revelation 19:14, I think it is? Yes. Oh, they rebel early. What are you doing, Tim? I mean, the guy's already talking back to me. What goes on at home goes on in the church. That's just the way it is. Quote from them now. There will be no tremendous outpouring of the latter rain in these last days until the people of God repent of their sins and recognize Babylon enough to come out of her. Do you see what's happening? They're actually going into Babylon, thinking they're going out of it. Hosea points to repentance, and it does. A restoration and the going forth of the Lord as the former and latter rain. This passage also states the millennial reign as being part of the Christian dispensation. In other words, we're already starting the millennium. Really? I was looking forward to a lot more than this. Aren't you? Here we go. We have seen the growth of the latter reign and the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening, the great Awakening of America was possibly the beginning of a lot of false doctrine? Yes. And I'm seeing that now. Azusa Street, that's where the Pentecostal thing got started. Doesn't the Lord have a sense of humor sometimes with names? Azusa. Where's that? What's that movie? Azusa Pedals or something. Azusa Pedals. Wonderful Life. That's what I can't think of. Mark that somehow. Listen to the list here. In the Great Awakening, the Azusa Street Revival, the Evangelistic Movement, Vatican II, Charismatic and Jesus movements, and the outbreaks of Restoration Revival happening all over the world all began at the same time. Yep, 1948. Aren't you alive in 1948? You were. Sure you were. And you were pretty surprised then, right? Like in the 18? Oh, yeah, that's when you know everything. Do you remember all this kind of stuff going on? This is the genuine, not the counterfeit, but little compared to what will happen when the mass of God's people finally turn from their apostasy. If we're in apostasy, where will it have to look like we've turned from apostasy? We're in apostasy. There has to be a time where it looks like it's no longer apostatizing, or whatever word that would be. When would that be? Wouldn't you think that's when Christ comes back? Apostasy's done, we're back, it's him. And who's coming in Revelation 6? The false Christ. See? Now you kids, your grandpa and grandma, mom and dad aren't going to be here for this. And I'm hoping you aren't either. But
So these are some things to study in your homeschooling of what the Bible says is going to happen. And what's taking place today as you're young and you know everything. So I hope you learn these things here. Babylon is pulled from her throne and the showers of spiritual blessings and power are poured upon all flesh. Power? You get it in Acts chapter 2, and that's Joel. But if you throw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Revelation 16 and a couple of these other places, you find out what's really going on in Revelation 6. There's a huge antichristy thing being set up. And do you think any of these guys that are selling us pills and vitamins and cleaning products and shampoos and stuff, do you think they really care? I mean, they're in it for the money. I've come to realize that even more. I'm sorry. I'm just seeing that even more so. Filthy lucre, it says. Because I was reading the other day that some of the names that I know of that we've considered are all post-trib guys. That means they believe we're going to go through the tribulation. That's why there's such a huge emphasis to be so healthy, to have the gold, to have the basement full of sandwiches, and the whole thing. I'm into the basement full of sandwiches thing because I think that's kind of neat. Middle of the night, bump downstairs and grab a sandwich. It's already made. Don't have to wake her up or anything. But their whole purpose is we got to get through the tribulation. That's why they preach and teach what they do. Wow. And then here's a quote on one of their website pages. As one body, we prepare for the marriage supper of the Lamb, harvest the fruit of the latter rain, follow him as the army of the Lord. Come on, Revelation. Look at it. Then we'll be done. Look at Revelation 16. They use the word army of the Lord. So they had to bring in the word army. Revelation 16, I think it is, the three frogs. Budweiser. Yep, 13, 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For there are spirits of devils. See, here, hit this verse right here exposes latter rain passages. During these times, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And they think they're going to be joining God's army with this revival thing going on. I really like to know what's going on. The devil's not snookering us. But I look back and I realize how much I have been snookered. That really bugs me, because I have told people a lot of things. And we showed books and historical things about things in early America that were just so marvelously wonderful. And it was way back in those days, this thing was already setting up for the false Christ. But, you know. Then they have a little special link on their website that says, help to prepare a holy bride. You click on that, and here's how you can become holy. These are the things you do, what? To become holy. And that just gets me. Because there aren't things that we do. Anyway, we want to read about it. Here's their stuff about the latter rain. You didn't know your Bible. It's pretty good looking stuff. I've never seen any scripture in this whole thing. From the fingers. Well, no, wait. Duh. I skipped all that. Look at Where's the reference? No references. What kind of deal is this? They're quoting Bible but not telling me where it's at. Really, they're quoting Bible scriptures here, but none of them are referenced. Look up the vile person shall need to be no more called liberal. It sounds King James. For I reckon, that's King James. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For then expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. If it's King James, it might be New King James. Where's that I reckon one at? You should know that one. Probably that thing marks huge, I reckon. That's a Romans thing or something. What's that? No, find the reckon one. I reckon. Reckon and sufferings. Sam's key verse for when he's learning to drive. Reckon with a lot of sufferings.
to turn the heart of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. That's another one. That's first John. See, now, isn't that interesting? All these scriptures, but there's not a single reference in there? Okay, how does that go? Okay, I'll read it. For I reckon that the, raise your hand or scream or something, if it doesn't match. Romans what?
8:18.
Okay, raise a scream if it doesn't match, Jimmy. Okay. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation, what waits for the manifestation of the sons of God? Ah, there's one. New King James, then. Is manifestation capitalized? I wouldn't think so. No. Sons of God capitalized?
Sons of God.
Sons is that right?
Right.
See what you're able to see. What you're able to see. You know, I mean, look at where you look at you. You can pick up the weapon of the devil, and you can still look at that thing. It looks just like a Ruger, and you can tell it's a Kmart Ruger. It's not the real thing, and it looks just like it. Yeah, but that little orange tip just tells me there's something wrong here. Or this little bolt, that bolt is not the, hey, that bolt is not a root. Yeah, made in China. You know, but no, the sticker's off, but you can tell. This thing's been made in China, I can just tell. This is where you've come with your Bible, that you recognize somebody's writing. First, doctrinally it's screwy. Doctrinally you can see that it's actually biblical, but it's wrongly dispensated. Because it's all in there, but it's dispensated wrong. And then you can spot things like, well, they didn't put any references now, so I can't check it. Then when they figure out how to check it, you can find out it really isn't King James Bible. It's really close, but it's still wrong. And if it's not the King James Bible, then the Spirit of God's not in this thing, then the Spirit of the Antichrist, the devil. This is the devil piece of work right here. And it sounds so good. And we all have people that are caught up in this stuff. And it's only you only know that because you're trusting that Bible to be the Word of God. Plain and simple. It's not that we